I'm noticing.
Am I on? There we go. I'm noticing that we're dwindling in children here. I just was looking when they were going back. There was only a couple of them here this morning. So if some of you want to start having children again so we can get our population up, why? I'm seeing some shaking of heads going on back there. That's been one of our strongest things here is that we've always had a lot of children. And I've always been thankful for that because our children are the next generation for the church here. So I would just encourage you to continue to bring your children and that we can fill up our classrooms again. Of course, I've been being here for, 17 years now. The children that we started with have grown up. Our church is not as young as it was years ago, and yet it's still very young. So Spanky let me know Friday, I think it was, that he would not be able to be. He was planning on preaching this week, and I was not planning on it. But he called and asked would I take care of it for him. He wasn't able to finish a job that he was doing and get back, so I was glad to do that, and the Lord had already spoken to me earlier in the week of the next message that I was to prepare for here. And I've titled the lesson James 4:8. It says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. That's what the Daniel fast has done for me, because I've noticed. So I remember a lot of dates in my spiritual journey. I can remember that I was 40 years old when I began to read the Word through every year, when I began to actually spend time in the Word. All of you know that I was a Christian as a young man. I've been a Christian all of my life, basically. But I didn't really learn the value of being in the Word until I was 40 years old. When I began to work in the Gideon ministry, that was one of the things that they stress is spend time in the Word every day. And so we during my 30 years as a Gideon, I read through the Bible every year, and that has been very good for me. I've learned a lot about God, who He is, what He wants from us, and I think I'll always remember 10:1-24. The day we started our spiritual journey here with our fast. I'll probably remember the 21st better than the 1st. Because I said it's probably all of you are looking forward to the day then when you can go back to your normal diet, what you've always dieted on. I didn't know how valuable this book was until we started the fast. I didn't look at it before we started the fast. If some of you have not looked at this on your computer, or if you haven't gotten it, I would recommend getting it and reading through it. It's just, you guys probably know, there's a lot of good stuff in here. It's full of just really, really good stuff. I'm actually going to be reading from it a little bit today. So, starting on this fast, it's a journey that we started on to change the way that people look at America, to change the face of America, to hopefully get Christians' awareness to go and vote so that we can get in the people that God wants leading our country. So we can again have godly heritage in our country. Men and women who look to Him for guidance, who look to Him for wisdom, and so on. So, and it was a challenge to get us to go out and vote. And I've seen in the last 2 weeks that it has done so much more than that. This spiritual journey that we started is amazing. So let's pray. And then we'll get into it. Father, I thank You for what You're doing in our lives here at Open Arms. Lord, I thank you that you called us to a 21-day fast, a time of an experience with you. A spiritual journey that most of us have never taken. Lord, that it's just been so good, and I thank you for all that you're doing in the church and across our nation. So, Father, as I share this morning, I ask, Father, that you'll give me the words to say, but I'll say only what you want and not what I want. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I do want to begin just with a little bit about that verse that I started with. And it's just actually in the introduction, I believe. It's on page 6 in your Daniel Fast book. The Bible teaches in James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Fasting puts us in a position to set aside a particular time when we can focus our attention on God and draw near to him. As I told you before, a fast is not a diet, but it's a time to draw near to God. It's a spiritual journey that we go on. And that's what it's saying here. It's a time to draw our attention to him and be near him. And that nearness is the blessing and the power. In that nearness, we experience God's presence and hear from him. In that nearness, we grow, work our faith, or experience faith growing, and examine our hearts. The Daniel fast offers you a spirit-led opportunity to feed your soul, strengthen your spirit, and renew your body. And I found that to be so true. It's not so because of the difference in my diet. In the first week, I lost 10 pounds. I've never lost 10 pounds in a week in my life. I've tried diets many different times because I've always carried a little more weight than I like to carry. It's if you've ever done construction, when it gets out over our belts a little bit, it's hard to bend over, and we do a lot of bending over doing construction. So I've always walked the walls for layout, to put layout on top of the walls for trusses and stuff, and you just can't do that when you're heavy. So I've tried to stay lean all my life, and I haven't always done that. But I've noticed I just feel better without the sugar and the carbs in my life. And so I'll probably, our diet will probably change a little after this. So it's been good for my body. But it's been even better, I've noticed, for my spiritual man, for my soul and spirit. It's really been awesome. But I noticed just in this one paragraph, there's 9 different things that this fast is doing for us. First of all, we receive his blessing and power in a fast. Without God's power, all of you who are doing the fast could say it would be a hard thing to do, wouldn't it? It would be a hard thing to just do this fast without the Lord. I'm not used to no meat and potatoes. I mean, we can still eat potatoes, but I'm just not used to not being able to eat meat. And apparently I liked sugar a little better than I thought I did, because a lot of the stuff that I ate had sugar in it. And I love Patsy's bacon, by the way. She is just one of the best bakers that I've ever seen, and I have always loved that. But I've gone without it for 2 weeks. And I would suggest that if any of you have not joined in the Daniel fast, if you thought it wasn't possible, just join with us for the last week and see what a difference it is. It's so amazing. Genesis 6:9, I'm not going to have you turn there. I just want to look at this one verse. It says, this is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. And when I saw that last part, I thought, what a great thing to have on your tombstone. He walked with God. This time probably has drawn me closer to God than I've ever been, because it's been a longer fast than I've ever done. I've done some 3-day total fasts just with water. I have never done a total without water or food. Like, you know, a couple of the fasts that we see in the Word of God were like Jesus was without food and water for 40 days in the desert, when God led him into the desert to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. You know that we can't do that on our own. That's just not a possible thing. And so the fast that I've done, I have been close to God, but for a shorter time. And I think the length of this is what has made the difference for me. It's just been, as that verse says, if we draw near to God, He'll draw near to us. And He has really been on my heart for 2 weeks. You know, just you just notice Him there when you're working, when you're whatever you're doing. You notice that closeness to Him. And so I've just been really, really, and I've been hearing a lot of testimonies. And so I'm gonna have Dylan come up and share his testimony with you. And then after he's done with his, if any of the rest of you have had something exciting happen in these 2 weeks that you'd like to share with the body of Christ, I'd love to hear them. Because I know that God is doing a lot of different things in your lives as you are on this journey. So Dylan, will you come and share your story with us this morning?
Good morning. So a couple weeks ago, I was driving to work, and God gave me a song. And I typed it out while I was driving to work. Then I made a mistake. I sent it to Jesse, and he sent it to Les, and here I am. So Les said, I want to share the song. And I said, great. And then he said, I want you to give a testimony. I was like, oh, boy, Jesse's in trouble now. He don't know it. But so I'm not good at testimonies, but I'll tell you a story about how I got here. So my cousin, who's a Browns fan, wrote a song called I Want Baker Back, Baker Mayfield. And somebody should be saying amen right now. I don't know. So anyhow, I thought I could write a song. I bet I could do that. So I said, how'd you do that? He used artificial intelligence. He types the lyrics out like a poem, puts it in the computer, spits out a song. So I did that, and I wrote a country song. And it was about me and Beth, and that got me punched in the arm. So I was like, that wasn't what I was looking for. It had some fun lines in it, and she thought they were funny, but she let me know. So she'll probably let you hear it. I will not. So anyhow, I was driving to work, running late. That's one thing I'm real good at. So I got in the bank line, and I just felt like God was giving me lyrics to a song. So I just started typing them in my phone in the notes section, and then I was like, phew, I'm already late for work. Stopped at the intersection at the bank, typed a few more lines. I got on Marion Williamsport Road to a stop sign, stopped there, finished the song. So then Beth called me. She goes, what are you doing? I said, driving to work. She goes, oh, did you go to the bank? I said, yeah, and I wrote a song. She goes, really? Another one? So I said, yeah. So I read it to her, and she goes, what are you going to do with that? So that was her blessing. She gave it her approval. So anyhow, that being said, I felt the Spirit when I was writing it. I was tearing up when I was typing it. It was pretty cool. So if technically we can figure it out, Julie's going to play it.
Lord, won't you make me how you want me to be? Lord, that's the only way I can be free. Make me like Noah, so I am prepared. Make me like Daniel, so I ain't scared. Make me like Moses, and want to see you. Make me like Jesus and be like you. He gave us a Savior we can call friend. Lord, you made me once, make me again. Make me like Jonah out in the sea. Lord, like the captives, make me free. Make me like Lazarus and live again. Lord, make me a sinner free from sin. Make me like Job with patience to get through. Lord, make me lie in those green pastures too. Lord, I'll let you make me what you want me to be. That's the only way I can be free. You made us a Savior we can call friend. God, you made me once, please make me again. Savior, we can call friend. God, you make me once, please make me again. Yeah. Make me like Jonah out in the sea. Lord, like the captives, make me free. Make me like Lazarus and live again. Lord, make me a sinner free from sin.
Now you know why I wanted you to hear it.
Thank you, Delvin. So what has God
been doing in your lives these 2 weeks? Does anybody else have something you'd like to share? We didn't have anything that dynamic in our family, but our family has been doing the Daniel Fast. Pretty much when we do things, we do it as a family. And I'm thankful that our children decided to join us in this because they're involved in the church here as well. And so as leaders, we just felt we needed to lead in that way. But if any of you would like to share, I'd like to have time for that. Does anybody else have something that you want to share that God did in your lives this week, last 2 weeks?
I can share something.
Okay. All right. Praise. Wow. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yes.
Mine's not super exciting or anything, but the timing of when we started the fast versus when we've lost two people on the staff that I usually work with, like in the last couple of months, and have had no one to take their places. So the one girl's last day was the end of September. And so then we started on October 1st with one less human and the same amount of patients. And at the same time, I'm training three different people out at our remote locations. And we have had some of the worst cases consistently that we've had in a really long time. I mean, we always have some now and then, but like we're talking like on the daily. And just the endurance alone that God has given me to get through every day on we're not supposed to have any caffeine on this fast, and I decided that would be a dangerous thing for me to just not have any and still be around their people. But the other thing too is I drive so much, like I need to be able to stay awake, but I slashed it. Like literally some days would have 600 milligrams of caffeine in a day, like from start to finish. So I have halved what I usually take or drink, and then poured something else in it and have just made it last through the whole day. That in itself is a miracle, people. Trust me. I've been doing that much caffeine for a very long time. But, I mean, almost every day, even on the days when I'm an hour and a half away, like, I'm not leaving there till 6 o'clock and then driving home. And I don't think I could have done it before. You know, I've been listening to the Bible on my way out and on my way back, and just that time to draw closer is what has kept me safe and kept me aware. And I almost hit a buck, but I didn't hit a buck on the one day on my way out to Zanesville. I mean, literally, like, the timing was like this. And all I could, you know, all you can say in those moments is, oh, thank you, God, because, you know, you never know. So for me, it's an endurance thing. Like, he has given me the energy to get through my days and to be able to train and to take care of and to comfort exponentially more than I maybe would on a daily basis. So I'm just grateful for that.
If you would, just pray for Julie and Lee. Because of the loss of their uncle. Just a couple more things from the book before we close today. So, the definition of a biblical fast is to restrict food for a spiritual purpose. So that's what a fast is. It's without the spiritual part, it's just a diet. And most of us at one time or another have done diets, and most of us know that they don't work very long. but a fast lasts. This is something that, because it's spiritual, it will last. Whenever fasts are mentioned in the Bible, they are accompanied with a spiritual issue. So when we consider biblical fasting, it always has to do with restricting food for a spiritual purpose. So not only is it to get the eyes of America back on Christ, back on God, with God as the head, but it is also drawing near to Him so that He draws near to us. In addition to restricting or changing our eating habits, fasting always has to do with spiritual life. Without that aspect, it's just a diet. Using the Daniel fast eating plan for health purposes may be a good dietary change. However, understanding that you would not be fasting if the spiritual component is not fully engaged. Imagine spending a day on a golf course. When you return to the clubhouse, someone asks how you did. Oh, I had a great day of golf, might be your reply. When asked about your score, you reply, well, I didn't hit the ball today. I left my clubs in the car. But like I said, I had a great day of golf. The truth is that you may have had a very successful day walking and enjoying the grounds, but you were not golfing. The same is true with fasting. You may follow the eating plan with diligence and experience many great health benefits, but not including the spiritual component is like leaving your golf clubs in the car. You're dieting, not fasting. the final scripture that I'd like to share, well, I'd like to go to Isaiah chapter 48 just for a few verses there. And then I want to finish up with the Galatians 5:23. Isaiah 49. My daily devotions have been in Isaiah for the last 2 weeks, and these few verses were here in Isaiah, and we're going to be in 49:1-7. It says, listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me.
From my birth, He has made mention of my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. and in the shadow of his hand he hid me. Excuse me, this thing go off? Or did I not turn it on? Nope, it's on.
He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength." He says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth." That's what our job is, guys, to bring God's salvation to the ends of the earth. So that's that. I just saw those as I was reading my dailies this week and thought that was good that God brought those to my attention. We're his servants. We're doing what he wants. And I had to think of self-control. So as you look at the fruits of the Spirit, self-control is right there at the end, and that's the one that it takes a lot of to do a fast, a lot of self-control. It teaches us to be in control of ourselves and to let God control us. So I just want to finish with a paragraph here in on page 11 from this book, and we'll get on out of here. But thank you guys for helping today, for sharing some of what God is doing in our lives. It says, as pressures of the present day would increase, today's followers of Jesus Christ are seeking a deeper, more meaningful relationship with their Lord. They want a faith that goes beyond Sunday morning. They want their faith to make a difference in their families, their jobs, and their everyday surroundings. They want to experience God in order to live a life that is Christ-centered, significant, and a positive witness to the world. So draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Just remember the title for today's lesson, James 4:8. James 4:8, and the verses that go with it. So as we've closed today, Jamie, girls, come up and we'll have another song. If any of you have a need that you need prayer for, come and we'll pray with you. I would also like you to remember Charlotte. Her daughter Shelley passed away, as you know. We're going to have a celebration of life here for them November 3rd. So we're actually leaving for vacation on the 26th, and we'll be getting back the 2nd, so we'll just be getting back for that. So if some of you could help out Patsy with some of the needs for that funeral or celebration with the meal, why, that would be awesome. So, yeah, just jump in and help where you can, but pray for Charlotte. It's been tough. She's had a lot of tough things happen last year, so lift her up daily. Go ahead, girls.